Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mona Montgomery with this evening's edition of The Hula Hoax. There were no gas chambers. There was no pure Jew fat soap. There were no Jew skin lampshades. And there were no Mengelian experiments. What there were concentration camps, because Hitler had decided that the Jewish Bolsheviks, who were in the process in Russia of crucifying, torturing, and killing 65 million white Christian Russians, needed to be put in cages. I'm going to try to track down one of these links that the Jews keep breaking here in the news, okay? This one is a story about an ex-Israeli officer arrested in Brazil, charged with illegal organ trafficking. Okay, one more time. Here is an ex-Israeli army officer arrested in Brazil, charged with illegal organ trafficking. It turns out this guy is part of an international illegal organ trafficking ring, and he's an ex-Israeli army officer. And this link is broken. So we're not going to get the whole story, but we're going to dig to get as much as we can, okay? Now, here's what it says on the search part, where you just search for it, and the Yahoo search comes up, you get a few words, and then the link, which in this case is broken. And this, a retired army officer under arrest in Brazil on suspicion of belonging to an international human kidney trafficking ring, has told a court the Israeli government financed organ transplants, press reports here said. Then it stops. Okay, here we go. I'm going to try the link. The link, okay? And it says the document is not found. The document you requested is not found. It may have expired. So try these links, Yahoo News homepage, and Yahoo homepage, and you'll try and you'll just get what I got. You'll get this couple of lines and then it's gone. Okay. So again, let's look at this thing. Let's dig a little bit here. Here is a retired Israeli army officer who has told a court the Israeli government financed organ transplants. Okay? That's pretty serious, isn't it? The Israeli government is financing organ transplants and sending this retired army officer to find people in Brazil who are willing to give their kidneys, their extra kidneys, which is what the Jews call your second kidney. That's your extra kidney. And they're selling them for $10,000. Okay, so this is our clue. We've got this couple of sentences. We know that there's a retired Israeli army officer who is authorized by the Israeli government and is part of an international illegal gang of people who are convincing non-Israelis to sell their organs to the Israelis, because guess what? The Israelis do not believe in selling their own organs. Organ trafficking probe. Tuesday, in their ongoing probe into a human organ trafficking ring, Melanie Anzor was arrested for blah 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 investigation in South Africa, Brazil, and Israel. Okay. South Africa police smash body part trade. Here we have a northeastern Brazil in connection with Oregon Ring. We're just trying to find out about this Brazil guy. Okay, is international syndicate which buys body parts from poor people in Brazil for use in South Africa. Israel accused of illegal kidney trafficking in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Ahaha! Let's see if this link comes up. Yeah, this is the next day. Ooh, yes, it did. Okay. Okay, a retired is... I mean, you have to look at this in the context of the Jews bleeding our European kids to death for their sacrifices and their relationship to our body parts to get the full thrust of what these guys are doing. Now, you have to understand that it's against the Jewish law for any Jew to offer his kidney, his extra kidney. So they go out, and here's what they're doing. Sao Paulo, Brazil. A retired Israeli army officer under arrest in Brazil on suspicion of belonging to an international human kidney trafficking ring has told a court that Israeli government financed organ transplants. Press reports here said on Tuesday. Okay, now finally I can understand this line. Okay. Israel accused of illegal kidney trafficking. Sao Paulo, Brazil. A retired Israeli army officer under arrest in Brazil on suspicion of belonging to an international human kidney trafficking ring. Trafficking ring has told a court the Israeli government financed organ transplants, press reports here said on Thursday. Geldaya Tauber Gady told a court that Israel financed organ transplants in other countries, primarily South Africa, through National Health Services. He also said that Israeli government official, identified only as Ilan, I-L-A-N, put him in touch with an intermediary in Brazil, retired military police captain Ivan Bonifacio da Silva. The police captain was also arrested in Recife in northeastern Brazil. Okay, well, we read in this other story. Okay, a retired Israeli, blah, blah. Okay, so here's a retired Israeli working with a retired military police captain, Ivan Bonifacio da Silva. Is this mafia? Could this be mafia? Ivan Bonifacio da Silva? Or is this a choir boy? All right, quote, the Israeli government is aware of the traffic in organs for patients in its country and pays for all transactions through four health plans. The Daily O Globo quoted Gady as telling the court, quote, I never thought the Israeli government was financing anything illegal, he said. I was only helping people in need. The people who are selling kidneys are in dire straits and living in nauseating conditions. There are very many parties concerned. There are over 100 of them, he added. Now, Da Silva, his partner, questioned Wednesday by a parliamentary investigating committee of the northeastern state of Pernambuco, said the organ trafficking network was performed at a hospital in Durban, South Africa on Israeli, Iranian, and American recipients using organs from Brazilian, Russian, and Romanian donors. Since last month, Brazilian police have arrested 10 Brazilians and 2 Israelis accused of organ trafficking, all of them jailed in Pernambuco's capital, Recife, after medical exams and tests to determine blood compatibility with the recipients, the donors were flown to Durban, where organs to be donated were removed. Shades of babies being slaughtered and crucified and their blood drained from their poor little blue-eyed blonde bodies in Russia, Europe, England, all hidden and protected by these blood libel laws that make it illegal to even mention these atrocities. Oh, have I not yet told you? Yes, I was doing a little bit of research recently on Russia. I'm trying to figure out the Russian Revolution here. And I discovered that in the 1600s there was a Christian sect known as castrati. These were people who thought that they'd be better boys and girls if the men gave cut off their testicles, sort of like we do with animals. And they did a lot of dancing and dervish singing and were quite weird in that they didn't believe that Christ had died to save sinners. They thought that Christ had died, you know, just from reading the scriptures, because the Jews sacrificed him in punishment for him saying they should stop sacrificing animals. So anyway, what happened in the 1600s in Russia was that the police tried to convict these castrati people. I mean, I agree they're weird, but I'm just telling you the story. The police tried to convict these castrati guys, but failed to, because they were innocent, of a lot of little European kids they kept finding with their throats half slit and all of the blood drained from their bodies. And they even got down to the point of stating in court that the children, they had figured out that the children's blood was being used to be mixed with the holy bread in order to have a mass. Well, they couldn't convict him because they were innocent. But it's just another, and then they just dropped the case. Oh, we're not going to investigate, you know. We don't care that there's this book, this 64 volume book called the Acta Sancta, that was carefully drafted by monks for over 1,000 years, documenting about hundreds of these cases where these little European bodies are found of children next to stones, which they call Judenstein, which means Jewish stone, because that's how you do it, just like Abraham did to Isaac. These Jews would buy these kids or kidnap these kids and take them to a big stone in the forest, and they'd consecrate it and call it Judenstein. And then they'd chop up the kid and drink its blood and leave the body there. And the monks would say, another case of Jews draining the blood of our European babies. And in some cases, the villagers would riot against the Jews and drive them out of the country. That's one of the reasons the Jews were driven out of so many European countries. A lot of times, it was because they just got crazy mad when they found a little baby that was found sacrificed on one of the 3 Jewish high holy days. Most notably, by the way, the Jewish highest holy day that happens around Easter. So, I mean, these Jews have really been enjoying the sacrifice of Christ for centuries. Okay, so getting back to the subject of the Israeli accused of illegal kidney trafficking. He is a retired army officer. His name is Geldea Tober Gadi. There is another Israeli in Brazil that they arrested, along with 10 other people. They have figured out that there's this ring that is taking both the organs and the donees that's the recipients, to South Africa, where these operations are performed, and I think it's very interesting. Okay, now South Africa arrests a human kidney traffic suspect. Let's go to South Africa and see if we learn more about the Jews in South Africa. I mean, I know James Wickstrom is going to love this because he's hot on the trail of these human sacrifices. And I thought he was completely crazy a year ago when he first started talking about it. And now I am a zealot. I'm sorry to say, I have to penetrate the subject. Because that's what happens when you laugh at a teacher. Then you find out you were wrong and he was right. Then you have to become a disciple. Okay, you're going to love this. This is what comes up in Johannesburg, South Africa, after the arrest in South America. Okay, this is Friday, December 5th, 2003. Johannesburg AP. Johannesburg Associated Press. A British-born South African man, alleged to be part of an international human organ trafficking syndicate, appeared in court Friday. Roderick Frank Kimberley, 58, probably a Jew who's changed his name. There's a lot of British Jews who have a beautiful British accent. They change their Jewish names. They cannot change their Jewish noses, however, and they look ridiculous. I'll bet this guy's a Jew. At any rate, Roderick Frank Kimberley, 58, handed himself over to police Thursday after he was informed a warrant for his arrest had been issued, said police spokeswoman Mary Martins Engelbrecht. She said he was believed to be one of the main members of the international syndicate dealing in human organs. Kimberley, who faces charges under Africa's Human Tissue Act, was released on bail of the equivalent of 12,000 some Canadian dollars. He is scheduled to appear in court on December 10th. His arrest follows that of two Israelis and nine Brazilians in Brazil and two Israelis in South Africa Wednesday. So far we got four Israelis involved. They are all suspected of participating in an international human organ trafficking organization stretching from South America to South Africa. The group, allegedly led by the Israelis, is believed to have scoured the Brazilian cities of Pernambuco State over the past year searching for candidates willing to sell their kidneys, Brazilian authorities said. Quote, in all, they managed to talk 30 men into selling one of their kidneys. Wilson Sals Damasio, head of the local federal police office, said from his office in the state capital of Recife, 2,150 kilometers northeast of Sao Paulo. Each one received between $6,000 and $10,000. Can't you just see the Jew chipping him down saying, well, such a deal, I'll give it to you for $5,000. No, I gotta have $10,000. Well, you settle for $6,000. Done. I gotta have the money. I'll sell my kidney for $6,000. Quote, those that passed a thorough medical checkup were sent to Durban, South Africa, where their kidney was extracted. Unquote. Damasio said, after a brief recovery period, they were flown back to Brazil. Thank you very much. Pat on the back. Get out of here. The Israelis arrested in Durban were identified as Ajania Robel, 42, who allegedly received a kidney, and Meyer Shushan, 50, who allegedly acted as a middleman. They appeared in the Durban Magistrates Court on Wednesday on charges of contravening the Human Tissue Act and must appear again in February, Martins Engelbrecht said. They were released on bail, but their passports have been confiscated, she said, and Mona says they need to have their extra kidney removed and sewn back in the guys they ripped them out of. Okay. Martins Engelbrecht, the investigator in South Africa, described the investigation as going well, said she expected South African police to make more arrests. Well, don't that just beat all? Okay, let's see what else we got. So now we found out that the Israelis are heading an international organ trafficking ring. They got two in Brazil, two in South Africa. Let's see what else we can come up with. I mean, you know, I wouldn't have even pursued this if they hadn't busted the link and made me mad. Okay. 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 Cops bust human kidney trafficking ring. Sao Paulo, Brazil. Police in Brazil said they had nabbed 11 people on Tuesday and broken up a ring which arranged for Brazilians to sell their organs in South Africa. In a statement, federal police said they had received an anonymous tip that an Israeli man was arranging for people in Recife, the capital of northeastern Pernambuco state, to sell kidneys through the gang. Okay? So now we see that it is a gang. The candidates were given medical tests to make sure they were healthy before being sent to Durban in South Africa, where a kidney was removed and sold. The statement said, the police found the going price for a kidney was about $10,000, although recent transactions had shown the organ was sold for as little as $6,000. The statement did not give details about the arrests or say how many people had sold organs through the ring. Police in Recife declined further comment on the case. Okay, but you and I know, because we've been reading all these other stories from all over the world, that the Israelis are heading up this hideous trafficking illegal ring in organ transplants. So let's see. Human organ trafficking. Let's see. All right, here it is. Organ trafficking in Eastern Europe. Remember, we found out that they were taking, or wait, here's another one about the Israeli guy. Okay, let's see if this guy will tell us. Because I'm still looking for that broken... Ha, 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 this might be it. Oh, I think I already got this one. The Israeli government is aware of the traffic in organs for patients in its country and pays for all transactions through four health plans. The Daily O Globe quoted Grady as telling the court, I never thought the Israeli government was financing anything illegal, he said. I was only helping people in need. The people who are selling kidneys are in dire straits and living in nauseating conditions. There are very many parties concerned. There are over 100 of them. Okay, so over 100 what? 100 kidneys have been taken out of people? Okay, so then they take them and give them, all right. Let's see. Now, organ trafficking in Eastern Europe. You know, they love to victimize the white people in Eastern Europe. Okay, let's see. A kidney fetches $2,500 in Turkey. Now, never forget, ladies and gentlemen, that the Jews are Turkish. Lots and lots of Turkish blood. So I have not yet been able to connect the Jews to Turkey, because I want very much to, since I come from Glendale, and there's just a huge furor over the Armenian Holocaust, where Turks slaughtered 1.5 million Armenians. I'm determined to prove... Oh, and they did it in 1917, the same year that they started killing the 65 million Russians. So I'm sure there's a link there, but I haven't been able to find it yet. So anytime I see anything connecting Turkey with the Jews, I'm very interested. Here it says a kidney fetches $2,700 in Turkey, which is a high price. An Indian or an Iraqi goes for $1,000. Wealthy clients later pay for the rare organ up to $150,000. Did you hear that? The Jew gets $150,000. The poor guy with the kidney gets $1,000. Okay. Some news guys, undercover reporters in Mexico, were asked by a priest, a holy priest, acting as a middleman for a doctor, a Jewish doctor, I'm sure, to pay close to $1 million for a single kidney. An auction of a human kidney on eBay in February of 2000 drew a bid of $100,000 before the company put a stop to it. So the auction didn't even complete itself. Another auction in September, dig this, drew $5.7 million, though probably merely as a prank. Okay, we'll see. Organ harvesting operations flourish in Turkey, in Central Europe, mainly in the Czech Republic, and in the Caucasus, mainly in Georgia. They operate on Turkish, Moldovan, Russian, Ukrainian, Belarusian, Romanian, Bosnian, Kosovar, Macedonian, Albanian, and assorted East European donors. Okay, so they're definitely harvesting from the same people that they're stealing the beautiful young girls for and selling them as sex slaves in Israel. They remove kidneys, lungs, pieces of liver, even corneas, bones, tendons, heart valves, skin, and other sellable human bits. The organs are kept in cold storage and airlifted to illegal distribution centers in the United States, Germany, Scandinavia, the United Kingdom, Israel, South Africa, and other rich industrialized locales. It gives brain drain a new spine-chilling meaning. Okay, very funny, very funny. Okay. Okay, organ trafficking has become an international trade. It involves Indian, Thai, Philippine, Brazilian, Turkish, and Israeli doctors. Now, you see how they connect these doctors? I mean, do you understand that Jews are not white? Indian, Thai, Philippine, Brazilian, Turkish, and Israeli doctors, third world untermensch, who scour the Balkan and other destitute regions for tissues. The Washington Post reported last week that in a single village in Moldova, 14 out of 40 men were reduced to penury to selling body parts. 14 out of 40 men were reduced to penury to selling body parts. Okay. Last year, Moldova cut off the thriving baby adoption trade due to an unfounded fear the toddlers were being dissected for spare organs. Yeah, I bet. How unfounded could that be, huh? It's probably draining their blood, using it with their matzah festivities around the time that we celebrate the crucifixion of Jesus. According to the... Oh, but shut my mouth. That's blood libel under the law of England. I am not allowed to say that. I wonder why. Okay. The Romanians are investing similar allegations in Israel and have withheld permission to adopt Romanian babies from dozens of eager and out-of-pocket couples. What's an out-of-pocket couple? Okay, this guy doesn't write very well. American authorities are scrutinizing a two-year-old Moldovan American authorities are scrutinizing a 2-year-old Moldovan harvesting operation based in the United States. Okay, now that's cancer of the Jew. Okay, when it gets into our country, that's Jewish cancer on the host soil of the United States of America, and it gets personal. Okay, organ theft and trading in Ukraine is a smooth operation. According to news agencies, last August, 3 Ukrainian doctors were charged in Lviv, L-V-O-V, with trafficking in the organs of victims of road accidents. Ha ha! Ha ha! The doctors used, I hope that they were dead victims of road accidents. Oh, I was thinking they just, the guy's unconscious, snap out those organs. Gee, man, that truck really hit you. Okay, the doctors used helicopters to ferry kidneys and livers to colluding hospitals. They charged up to $19,000 per organ. The West Australian Daily surveyed in January the thriving organs business. You know, my sister's married to a Jew, and she just says the most astonishing things. 2 years ago, she came back from Ecuador, and she said, you know, they looked like they had very good organs. I wouldn't mind having one of their hearts, because they're always invigorating themselves in the high altitudes, and they get a lot of workout on those lungs. I looked at her and said, do you even realize that that's not a nice thing to say? Well, your husband's a Jewish psychologist. Okay, here we go. National health insurance schemes turn a blind eye. Israel's participates in the costs of purchasing organs abroad through only subject to vigorous vetting of the donation. In other words, they want to make sure it's a good kidney. But that's all. Other than that, just give us the kidney. Okay. Still, a May 2001 article in the New York Times Magazine quotes, the coordinator of kidney transplantation at Hadassah University Hospital in Jerusalem as saying that 60 of the 244 patients currently receiving post-transplant care purchased their new kidneys from a stranger, just short of 25% of the patients at one of Israel's largest medical centers participating in the organ business. Well, I didn't even know what they said just then. I got as far as that they coordinate the kidney transplantation at Hadassah University. Okay. 60 of the 244 patients got their kidneys from a stranger. Okay, so what? Just short of 25% of patients at any... Okay, stupid guy. I hate this writer. Okay. Many Israelis attempting to avoid scrutiny travel to East Europe, accompanied by Israeli doctors. Well, yeah, I mean, if you can buy it for $1,000, and you're going to sell it for $150,000, you're going to take a trip on the train with your patient. Heck yeah. Here we go. Come on, guy, let's go get a Transylvanian organ. Many Israelis attempting to avoid scrutiny travel to East Europe accompanied by Israeli doctors to perform the transplantation surgery. These junkets are euphemistically known as transplant tourism. Clinics have sprouted all over the benighted region. Israeli doctors have recently visited impoverished Macedonia, Bulgaria, Kosovo, and Yugoslavia to discuss with local businessmen and doctors the setting up of kidney transplant clinics. Such open involvement in what can charitably be described as a latter-day slave trade. Oh, baloney's latter-day slave trade. The slave trade was never this bad. Gives rise to a new wave of thinly disguised anti-Semitism. Oh, okay. Okay. Anti-Semitism. People, such open involvement makes people not like Jews. Well, I guess it would. The Ukrainian Echo, quoting the Ukrinform news agency, reported on January 7th that, implausibly, a Ukrainian guest worker died in Tel Aviv in mysterious circumstances and his heart was removed. The Interpol, according to the paper, is investigating this lurid affair. Oh, I see. Yes, a heart mysteriously disappeared from a guy who died in mysterious circumstances in Tel Aviv. A Ukrainian guest worker died in Tel Aviv in mysterious circumstances, and his heart was removed. Oh, well, let's not talk about that, because that would be anti-Semitic. According to scholars, reports of organ thefts and related abductions, mainly of children, have been rife in Poland and Russia since at least 1991. The buyers are supposed to be rich Arabs. Right, I know those Arabs. Those Jews dressed up like Arabs. Okay. Nancy Sherper Hughes, an anthropologist at the University of California at Berkeley and co-founder of Organs Watch, a research and documentation center, is also a member and co-author of the Bellagio Task Force report on transplantation, bodily integrity, and international traffic in organs. In a report presented in June 2001 to the House Committee on International Operations and Human Rights, she substantiated at least the nationality of the alleged buyers, though not the urban legends regarding organ theft. Okay, now she's going to pull the covers on the Jews. To the Middle East residents of the Gulf states, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Oman, in the Middle East, residents of the Gulf states, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Oman, have for many years traveled to India, the Philippines, and to Eastern Europe to purchase kidneys made scarce locally due to local fundamentalist Islamic teachings that allow organ transplantation to save a life, but prohibit organ harvesting from brain-dead bodies. Meanwhile, hundreds of kidney patients from Israel, which has its own well-developed but underused transplantation centers due to ultra-Orthodox Jewish reservations about brain death, travel in transplant tourist junkets to Turkey, Moldova, Romania, where desperate kidney sellers can be found, and to Russia, where an excess of lucrative cadaveric organs are produced due to lax standards for designating brain death, and to South Africa, where the amenities in transplantation clinics in private hospitals can resemble four-star hotels. So hearkening back to our South African thing, where these Israelis send the people who are getting the organs taken out of them and the people who are having the organs put into them, we now find out that the wealthy people who are paying $1.5 million per kidney are staying in four-star hotels. While I am sure the guys who are donating the kidneys for $1,000 are probably, as I said, patted on the back and taken, you know, given the long, the bum's rush. Okay. We found in many countries, from Brazil and Argentina to India, Russia, Romania, Turkey, to South Africa and parts of the United States, a kind of apartheid medicine that divides the world into two distinctly different populations of organ suppliers and organ receivers. Russia, together with Estonia, China, and Iraq, is indeed a major harvesting and trading center, international news agencies described 2 years ago, how a grandmother in Ryazan tried to sell her grandchild to a mediator. The boy was to be smuggled... Oh, this is scary. The boy was to be smuggled to the West and there dismembered for his organs. The uncle who assisted in the matter was supposed to collect $70,000, a fortune in Russian terms. So where do they get off saying that there was no problem with children being abducted for their organs? And doesn't this sound like the stories in the Middle Ages that we have written down by the monks in that 64-volume work called the Acta Sancta, where they talk about the Jews buying and kidnapping European children, taking them to stones, like the Judenstein, and cutting up the kids, torturing them, killing them, draining their blood. My God, I mean, it hasn't changed. Okay. When confronted by the European Union on this issue, Russia responded that it lacks the resources required to monitor organ donations. The Italian magazine Happy Web reports that organ trading has taken to the internet. A simple query on the Google search engine yields thousands of websites purporting to sell various body parts, mostly kidneys, for up to $125,000. Well, that's dirt cheap. I mean, that's very cheap. The sellers, oh, these are guys who are getting smart. They don't want to sell their organs for $1,000. They know they're going to be resold for $1.5 million, so they're just getting on the internet and saying, here, but I want $125,000, not a lousy $1,000. The sellers are Russian, Moldovan, Ukrainian, and Romanian. Actually, I don't have anything against that. If a guy voluntarily wants to sell his kidney, his extra kidney, I don't care, but I don't like the idea of them scouring Brazil, these Jews, and convincing people to sell their kidneys when they're so uneducated they have no idea what they're doing. Shepherd Hughes, an avid opponent of legalizing any form of trade in organs, says that, in general, the movement and flow of living donor organs, mostly kidneys, is from south to north, from poor to rich, from black and brown to white, and from female to male bodies. Yeah. Slap that guy right in the face. Yet, this summer, bowing to reality, the American Medical Association Committee commissioned a study to examine the effects of paying for cadaveric organs would have on the current shortage. Oh, well, the 1984 National Organ Transplant Act that forbids such payments is also under attack. Bills to amend it were submitted recently by several congressmen. These are steps in the right direction. What is this saying? The AMA says that we should be allowed to pay for kidneys. That's what I think I just read. This summer, bowing to reality, the American Medical Association commissioned a study to examine the effects of paying for cadaveric organs would have on the current shortage. The 1984 National Organ Transplant Act that forbids such payments is also under attack. Bills to amend it were submitted recently by several congressmen, and these are steps in the right direction. So Congress apparently is deciding that we should be allowed to pay for cadaveric organs, and that's going to lead to the problem they already have that they discussed earlier in the article, of Israel, for example, being very fuzzy in determining who is and who isn't brain dead so that they can extract the organs. So it's coming into America now. Organ trafficking is the out. I mean, do not go into the hospital if you think they're going to have any opportunity to consider you brain dead, because you will lose all of your organs. Organ trafficking is the outcome of the international ban on organ sale and liver donor organs. Organ trafficking is the outcome of the international ban on organ sale and live... Oh, I see, yes. If they just allow us to do it legally, we wouldn't have to do it illegally. But wherever there is demand, there is a market. Excruciating poverty of potential donors, lengthening patient waiting lists, and the better quality of organs harvested from live people make organ sales an irresistible proposition. The medical professions and authorities everywhere would do better to legalize and regulate the trade rather than transform it into a form of organized crime. The denizens of Moldova would surely appreciate it. Well, I don't know. Okay, so that's on that. Well, let's see what else we got. Ugh. Human organ trafficking. Oh, God. Anyway, do you see that Israel is involved, heavily, heavily involved? Oh, God. Oh, Jeez. I think this is the same article. Oh, Jesus. They're mostly poor people just trying to make a better life for themselves, says Manuel Caetano when he's talking about organ bootlegging. They'll probably buy a house or a small business with their money. Oh, Jesus. Okay. They find this guy 250,000 Rs, whatever that is. Hey, God. Anyway, that's what the Jews get for trying to break the link. You know, just don't break a link I might run into, or I will definitely investigate it. Well, that about wraps up our discussion on Jewish sacrifice of Europeans and other races in the 21st century. Now we're going to listen to Frank Sinatra singing Polka Dots and Moonbeams, and then I'll wrap up this evening's edition of The Hola Hoax with a discussion on Mel Gibson's upcoming movie, The Passion.
Polka dots and moonbeams when when I kiss the pug-nosed dream.
Okay, so here we are reading the rules the church has set up to depict the death of Christ. And in reading them, I'm struck by the way Christianity has depicted Christ's death as being some wonderful sacrifice, when the scriptures clearly show a man who's trying desperately to get them to give up their sacrifice of animals, which is an outgrowth of their sacrifice of their own children, which was followed by their sacrifice of our children, for which this divine character, Jesus Christ, gets thrown up on the cross by the Jews, mocking and ridiculing him as the supreme sacrifice. Oh, glorioski, they're saying as they nail him to the cross. Here's a good unblemished white lamb. But I don't think that was God's will. And yet, we're told by the church, we must take the crucifixion of Christ as a wonderful event in his... I'm reading an article by Reuters under Movies that says the church expert restates the rules for portraying the Passion. Christ's Passion must stress the Christian teaching that Jesus died for mankind's sins, and not because of the particular Jews or Romans who were historically involved. Don't blame us. God did it. Well, I know that's been the historical teaching of the Christian church, but I've never believed it, and I don't believe it now. Particularly when I find out more and more about how the Jews have sacrificed European children and bled them, drained them of blood, and used the blood in their ceremonies, as they used to do with their own children, as is amply demonstrated by the Abraham-Isaac story. Does anyone notice that Abraham is killing his own kid on an altar to God? Do you think that was an anomaly? Or do you think, as I do, that it was one of a series of habitual demonstrations of their worship for Satan? Grab a kid, slice him up, Satan will give you great good luck. I mean, the sub-Saharan Negroes are still doing it. Obviously, that's where this hideous practice came. The Jews are a subhuman race. Let's get honest here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not call ourselves the progeny of Jews. We are entirely different from them. We have no history of cannibalism. We have no history of sacrificing our own children. Let's eschew this relationship to Abraham. I want nothing of this man. If he is on my family tree, I will dig a big hole and bury that fact. I want no connection with Abraham. He's not of my people, and he's not of my blood. Furthermore, I don't think it was completely noticed when Jesus said to them in John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil," after they said they were the children of Abraham. Abraham and the devil are the same thing. Abraham was not a nice man. He was chopping up his own child to please a satanic god in exchange for some kind of business favor. Simon Wiesenthal, head devil, Jew, says, "The film made Jews look evil and sinister, like dark-eyed Rasputins," unquote. Dark-eyed Rasputins. Have you ever considered that maybe Rasputin was a Jewish spy? I have, and I've done enough research to find out that he had secret meetings with Jews while he was staying in the castle with the Tsar and the Tsarina and the family. I think it's more than odd that following Rasputin's heavy influence on the Tsar and Tsarina, they were assassinated. And I don't think it's because the Russians were superstitious or jealous that they tried to kill Rasputin. I think it's because they knew damn well he was a Jewish spy and had been plotting the assassination of the Tsar and the Tsarina for a while there. So here's Simon Wiesenthal, head devil Jew, saying, "Oi, he's making us look like Rasputin." Oh, and by the way, just a little lesson in demonology. When you think you're dealing with a demonized Jew, accuse them directly of what you think they're guilty of, like you eat babies. And if you're dealing with a real demon, they will admit what you're saying is true. They'll say, yeah, I eat babies every Sunday for lunch. Then you know you actually are looking at a red-eyed devil. What you do then, I don't know. Some of the big shots can tell you how to exorcise them. All I know is how to make them admit what they are, and then I just kind of leave them hanging on the fence because I don't know how to exorcise them. Anyway, that's enough for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of this evening's edition of the Hola Hoax. I'll see you next week, same time, same station.
Oh,